Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network.
Today's date is September 26, 2019.
Saints, the world is in trouble. The world is in turmoil. Most do not realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for you here tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course,
620-878-4682. That's 620-878-4682. In case of an emergency, text Dan on your cell at 316-619-4886. That's 316-619-4886. You can always find us updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, and that's all at our ministry hub, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. We're a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net and internationally and YouTube and on the some FM stations. So please pray about supporting airtime because it's not free. Okay, let's thank our listener base in other in places like Melbourne, Vic, Australia.
Drop the Vic.
Okay.
I'm guessing the Vic may be Victoria.
Is that like drop the mic? No, just kidding.
No, it's not drop the mic.
Drop the Vic. Okay. Johannesburg, South Africa, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, Beijing, China, and the cities of the good old USA was Long Beach, California, Boston, Massachusetts, Seattle, Washington, Newark, New Jersey, and New Jersey. And this week, the largest group of listeners was Charlotte, North Carolina, my dad's hometown. Yes.
Okay, well, go Charlotte, I guess. Follow us and share us on Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Brent77. And I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm just seem like just ready to go today. And so that's why I just thought you better say it. Anyway, now prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray radio goes as you want it to go and not as we want it to go, Father. Give everyone out their ears and wish to hear the truth. And so please, Father Yahweh, bless this program tonight in your son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, hello to the people.
Shalom, hello.
So what we start, we're into the fall feast starting, when does it start?
Sunday at dark to Monday at dark this week is Yom Kippur.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. It's Monday.
It's not Yom Kippur.
What is it? Oh, Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, Yom Kippur is the next one. Oops, I...
Okay, well, there's 10 days. but this opens the conversation to a good place. First off, this is the Feast of Trumpets. It's a celebration of blowing trumpets with a loud shout. And so trumpets, to me and many other Bible scholars, believe that it's also a sign of the tribulation because of all of the blowing and trumpets, something that we're going to prove. It's also the celebration of the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai and Moses going up to get the Torah. We're going to cover all that in a minute. But between the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement is 10 days. You remember what we call the 10 days? 10 days, it begins with an A.
Of awe.
10 days of awe. What's awe?
It's 10 days of awe. That's when you...
awe. What's awful?
It's awful.
Awesome.
Awesome really means awful. It's not
right.
Awesome is not a good word.
Yeah,
it means terrible.
yeah, that's original word, you know. And so when people say, oh, that's awesome, I say, man, you're saying it's terrible.
Well, the devil turned everything around, don't you know?
Yeah.
Everything amen, good, amen. He made everything bad. He's trying to make good, and everything good,
okay,
he's trying to make bad.
So the Day of Atonement, it represents the day that we'll finally, that Israel will be finally atoned for their sins. And that will, many people say that, you know, that's the finale of things. That, well, it's not quite the finale. It's a finale. Let's go with the Jews believe. The Jews believe that on the Day of Atonement, that their name will be written in the Book of Life for another year. They believe it year by year because they don't know the Savior yet. But knowing the Savior, we know that it's representation that, you know, we're sealed for an eternity unless that we mess it up ourselves, you know. Then our name can get blotted out of the Book of Life, like the Word says. But anyway, so I've got a song I want to play, and then we'll go into the Feast of Trumpets. That was supposed to be Frank's cue.
Fire on the mountain, Moses went to see. The bush was burning with the flame by the power of God's glory. Standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down and take his sandals off as he was standing on holy ground. Daniel in the lion's den, he trusted in God's word. Those hungry lions' mouths were shut and not a hair on Daniel was hurt and he was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down and he was standing. Holy ground, holy ground, they were standing on holy ground. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, into the furnace they were tossed. When the king looked in, there were four, not three, but they had their sandals off and they were standing on holy ground. Yeah, they had to humble down, they were standing on holy ground. David told Goliath, you come with sword and shield, but I am the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, he was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down, cause he was standing on holy ground. Holy ground, holy ground, they were standing on holy ground. Are you standing?
She's not in all those songs. He sings about her in all those songs. Those are some other people in backup. She died before he did.
Well, I thought he said the woman was his wife.
The woman he speaks about is his wife. It's a relationship. No, the woman's not his wife. In fact, that was how he was able... He took her money that he got off of the insurance policy for her. I think she died in a car wreck. And that's how he bought his farm and everything. But anyway, I don't go into deep into that right now. We're talking about, you know, I picked a song, Holy Ground, because, you know, we're coming into Yom Kippur is supposed to be the most sacred day of the year because, that again, that is the time that Yeshua finally atones for everything for us that is sealed. In other words, that'll be Moses, the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, but let's back up. Today I want to talk about the Feast of Trumpets, though. So preceding Yom Kippur is the Feast of Trumpets and the 10 awesome days. Now, those are 10 days of repentance. And, you know, a lot of us believe that trumpets represents the tribulation because, as you know, there's like seven trumpets that the angels blow in the Book of Revelation, you know, talking about the final times. And the usage of trumpets is always about warnings and things. And so this is the Feast of Trumpets. And then you have a representation at the end. So what comes at the end of the tribulation? The Day of Atonement, you know, the Day of the Sitting. So, Feast of Trumpets. But it's also something else that's celebrated. And we'll do this. Do you have your reading skills on today?
All the time.
Okay, well, let's read Exodus 19, starting with 16.
And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled.
Stop. Now, just to address that, folks, that's talking about Mount Sinai, and the people, you know, maybe getting to meet Yahweh. Go ahead.
And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with Yahweh, and they stood at another part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and Yahweh answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, go down and charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them shall perish. And let the priests also which come near the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up the Mount Sinai, for thou charged us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priest and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them.
All right. And then later on we found out that the people heard him, and they just...
No, Moses, you talk to him. No, 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 we're scared. You go do it, Moses. You talk to him for us.
Yeah, we don't ever want to hear that again. And so, but see, so this is a celebration. Now, let's go with this. I'm going to people say, oh, okay, well, what's that got to do with us? I'm going to bring it up to through the New Testament and show them that. But let's go with this. So this was all about giving the Torah on Mount Sinai. You know, that's what that was about, right?
Right.
Okay. So, why do we, a lot of people believe that Yeshua will come back during at the Feast of Trumpets, and then will go up for the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then come back down to the earth on the Day of Atonement. Now, but is there anything that points to Yeshua and trumpets in the New Testament? Now, let's remember something. Now, when we say, it says in the Word, in John, it says, and the Word was made flesh, right?
Right.
So that word is
Yeshua,
but the word, but it also the word they're talking about
is the Torah.
The Torah made flesh. Right. So the Torah was made flesh and dwelt among us. But the word, the Torah, will return again, the living Torah. So let's go with this. This is all about the Day of the Lord now.
Then the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming in on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from all the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other.
What?
Matthew 24:29-31.
Okay. Now, so what does it say? It says when the sound of a great trumpet. This is the seventh and last trumpet that sounded in the book of Revelation. So at the seventh trumpet in the book of Revelation, you want to know when he comes back, go look in Revelation. When it's the seventh trumpet, that's when he returns.
It also says in there somewhere that it's immediately after the last trumpet he will come back.
Well, that's in some other scriptures, but that's not in Revelation, but it is there. Okay.
1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. Or 16 and 17, I guess there's no in between there, huh?
No.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of Yahweh. And the dead in Yeshua shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we even be with the Lord. Hang on. So, if those in those dead in Christ first shall rise out of the ground. How can they be up in heaven? What are they going to do? Come down here, crawl on the ground, and then rise up, and then meet him in the sky?
Well, that sounds familiar, but but yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, so I don't get the whole pre-trib rapture things because, you know, that's confusing. And the Father, you know, Yahweh, he's not a God of confusion, you know, and that's pretty confusing.
Once you pass away, your destination is already determined. You go to sleep, and when it's like when you go into surgery, they knock you out. You don't know anything till you wake up. Either you'll wake up at the white throne judgment, or you'll wake up with Yeshua in the, coming to get you out of the ground and meet him in the clouds.
Hey, that's real accurate. You know, and the great white throne judgment doesn't happen until 1,000 years after his return, because he has 1,000 years he reigns on earth.
Right. So that means all the evil people and the unsaved people won't get to wake up until after the 1,000 years.
Right. But. Unlike what a lot of people believe, they believe that the instant of his coming, that all the bad people that are alive will die. They will not. In fact, Yeshua is going to go out and make war with them, and we'll leave that open for a while. But he'll go out and make war with them. But we're talking about some other
Feast
things.
Of Trumpets,
right? Feast of Trumpets, yeah. Because I don't want to get down a big.
There's
rabbit
many
trail.
Rabbit trails we can follow.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of rabbit trails, okay, this isn't a rabbit trail, but I just don't know if I want to get into this. Okay, we're going to try and get into this. Now, this came from, I have an article here. Where else to go with this? You know, the Bible talks about there being sacrifices that the Antichrist will stop. Well, if the Antichrist, if the Bible says that there's sacrifices that will be stopped, they would first have to be started, right?
All right.
Okay. Well, first, let's lay the groundwork for this. And
shouldn't we tell them when the Feast of Trumpets is, since we talked about it? And before
we just did.
You told them the dates?
The Feast, we're talking about the Feast of Trumpets. That's dark Friday, or this Sunday night. We're not talking about...
Sukkot. Okay.
Sukkot.
I messed up. Never mind. Go on.
I know you messed up. Don't you love her, folks? Sukkot's not for
we're talking about
after Day of Atonement. In fact, but Sukkot does start on the... I'll just tell them when it starts. I won't tell them when it ends because I want to make that into a conversation. But it starts at dark on the 13th of October.
Right.
Is Sukkot, you know, and that's the season of our joy. Because that's 1,000... It represents 1,000 years when... And we'll talk a little bit about Sukkot now because we'll start this other when we come back from radio. So, why is it called the season of our joy?
Why is it called the season of our joy? Because of Yeshua. It's when Yeshua was born. It's tabernacles. He comes to tabernacle among us, and the very first day is his birthday.
Okay, but you can't actually nail it to his birth. We can nail it during the feast, but not the exact day because...
Tishri 15, but...
Well, right, but what I'm trying to say is because the feast fluctuates a little bit every year.
Right, but it's always on Tishri 15. It's just in our calendar, if the days are different.
Well, not only that, but it fluctuates because of the way that the calendar works in Israel. You know, sometimes... It's like that. Sometimes the Feast of Tabernacles in September.
Right. But they have 13 months in their calendar. We only have 12.
Well, we added a 13th month for a special reason, but I don't want to get into that. That's too big of a rabbit trail.
Okay.
But the point is, we do believe, however, though, that the feast fell during, we're pretty sure it fell during September that year, but I don't want to get into that rabbit trail. So it's the season of joy because it represents the 1,000 years that Yeshua will spend on the earth and tabernacle with us, and the Torah will go out from, I don't know if I brought that scripture. Let me look down here real quick and say it. No, I didn't. I had it earlier, but I did something else. Anyway, but the point is that it will be a time of great joy. Also, it's the fall feast. It's the end fall feast, which, what? It's a harvest feast, you know. It means, you know, in the spring we had, first fruit things, but now we're having a fall feast. And the fall feast is a celebration. The celebration represents also that everything has been harvested in Israel. So what are you supposed to do after the work's done?
You're supposed to have a feast.
Well, you're supposed to have a feast. You're supposed to have a celebration. Right. I mean, in a different way, it's just the logic of human beings. I mean, you know, let's go with this. When you finish your work week during the week, most people want to go out and celebrate, go out to dinner with their wife, or maybe some of them want to do this or that, but they kind of celebrate when they're done for, oh, I'm done for the weekend.
Relaxation.
Now it's relaxation time. Well, it's the same way with the fall feast. See, that's why they're logical and why they add up. And so it's the end of our labor on earth. When we get to the season of our joy, we have ended our labor on earth, and we have a new labor, though. We're going to rule with Yeshua, help rule with Yeshua with a rod of iron for 1,000 years as he teaches the nations Torah. That's what the word says. But we're not going to get into that real big specific, because that's going to take a whole program to talk about the Feast of Trumpets. So that's something that's coming. But today, again, we're talking about trumpets and, you know, what's going on with it like that. So anyway, any other thoughts on tabernacles? Are we going to go this year?
We're trying. We're trying our best. We got our registration done, and we got blessed with the
money.
With the money that they paid the fees for that with one meal a day. So that's out of the way. Then we got another donation to we've got new tires all the way around and got the tags because it's been untagged for 2 years. On the camper. So we got it tagged and tires, good tires on it. But then we got inside it and found out that the water pipes and the gas lines and everything needed replaced. But we got blessed with the money to fix it yesterday. And so now all we're lacking is the travel money and the food money for
three people.
For three adults for, what is it, 7 days? Because we're going to go from the 13th to the 19th.
Right. Okay. Anyway, so, folks, but we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But in the meantime, where can they go to find us?
You can go to prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Everything you need to know about us is right there, prophecyhour.com.
Yeah, anything that we're willing to tell you about us. No, I'm joking. Anyway, folks, we'll be back in 4 minutes.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Pruning before the harvest is a necessary thing. Help us bear more fruit for all and to glorify the King. Jesus is the true vine, His Father holds the shoes. At times the pruning hurts so bad, and we have to shed some tears. His time harvest is coming soon. For us, be thankful that we've been pruned. What it does is makes us strong and bear more fruit for Him. He does it cause He cares for us, and that's why He cuts us thin. When He's through, we may not see the good in what He's done. It may look bad, but we still know we're grafted in His Son. His time harvest is coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. But then we see our leaves shoot forth as the sun begins to shine. We know we'd surely wither if we weren't within the vine. Soon the fruit begins to grow more abundant than before. And as it's picked for others' use, we keep on bearing more. The end time harvest is coming. coming soon. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. We must be thankful if we've been pruned. We must be thankful.
The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Romans, tells us that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. His conclusion is that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. However, he in no way indicates that the law is no longer valid. Just the opposite. Paul questions, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. There is no law that can be kept in order to establish one's own righteousness, for there is none righteous, no, not one. No man has ever fulfilled the righteous obligations of the law to the point that he has not known sin. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. The gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ that we are offered freely was purchased at a great price. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us and paid the death penalty for sins that are past. He did not, however, die that we may transgress his laws or continue in sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227. Or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
This is Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin, and you're listening to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network, and we are back from break, and we'll talk about the Mission Church a little bit later, but we've been talking about the coming feast and how it's important to us. So trumpets, basically, Yeshua would is also a celebration of that his return on trumpets. So, and again, that's Friday dark, that's the Sabbath. It is Sunday dark until Monday dark, and it is a high Sabbath. Okay, so, but, now, it's a countdown, basically, to Tabernacles, as we talked about, the season of our joy. You know, one thing about Tabernacles, it's also a feast that celebrates all the nations, because that's even when all the nations will go up to Israel to hear Yeshua give them the Torah from Mount Sinai. It's a feast for that includes all the nations. So Israel has been trying to get back into what they're supposed to be doing. So this article that I'm going to have you read came from Breaking News Israel. Folks, you can subscribe to that, Breaking News Israel. Just go online and look it up. But this is something they said, and I'll talk about it when she gets done reading it.
A first since days of Noah, animal sacrifice to restore Yahweh's covenant. By David Sidman, September 26, 2019 at 2:56 p.m. Then Noah built an altar to Hashem, and taking of every clean animal and every clean bird, he offered burnt offerings on the altar, Genesis 8:20. The Conference of the Organization of the 70 Nations hosted a ceremony on Thursday whereby an animal sacrifice was offered on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. The objective, to renew the covenant made between Yahweh and all mankind. Breaking Israel News writer Eliyahu Berakowicz was at the scene throughout the entire event and even recorded it on Facebook live video below. The original sacrifice, known as a korbanollah, burnt offering, was made by Noah when he exited the ark following the flood. Then Noah built an altar to Hashem, and taking of every queen animal and of every queen bird, he offered burnt offerings on the altar, Genesis 8:20. The event, however, was almost canceled. That's because when the original butcher who was supposed to slaughter the lamb at the event canceled last minute, a righteous Gentile named Malachi, who just happened to have 4 years' experience slaughtering animals, was miraculously in attendance. After being called upon, Malachi broke down in tears, saying that he's dreamed about the moment all week. He stepped up and slaughtered the lamb and also helped burn it on the altar, an altar that Jews were forbidden from helping them erect. After the ritual slaughter took place, the fire from the sacrifice burned smoke to the heavens as seen. You can't go through something like this and be apathetic. Everyone walked out of this ceremony totally transformed and totally intent on serving Yahweh to the best of their ability, and said an emotional Brock was calling it Abrahamic moment.
An Abrahamic moment.
Right.
You know.
Malachi added, I knew I was going to do this before I came to Israel. Yahweh gave me the strength to do this today. Every one of these stones that fit together is unique. He's bringing his stones now to build the temple, and it's us together. During a joint interview, both Malachi and Berakowicz recited the verse in Psalms, saying, the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Psalms 118:22.
Okay. All right. So what's important about this is so this is the first time this sacrifice has been done since Noah. But sacrifices, you know, it's clear that sacrifices are going to be reinstated in Israel in the time of the end. And so here we see a startup of that. You understand? All these things are coming together. Now, in Daniel 9:20-27 says this, and I'll read this one. And while this is in Daniel, and this is one of the most prophetic verses about the end time, and it explains itself. And see, now Daniel was praying, and he said, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin, this is Daniel 9:20-27, in confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before Yahweh, my Yahweh, for the holy mountain of Yahweh. Yeah, while I was speaking in prayer, even if the man Gabriel's the angel, whom I had seen in a vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the whole vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression and make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity. Iniquity is lawlessness. To bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and the prophecy, to anoint the most holy. Therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem under the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again, and the wall, troublous times. And therefore, and after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the, now let's stop right there. Messiah will be cut off, not for himself. So that's Yeshua. In the midst of the week, he was crucified, sacrificed for the sins of the people. But the week was cut off and stopped. I'm not going to go into when the 70th week starts back. I'm not going to go into that. But listen to what else it says. And the people of the prince, now we're talking, shall come and destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. Under the end of the war, desolations are determined. Okay, now the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, but let's go back to this. So we're talking about when it says the people of the prince. Who are the people of the prince? The prince isn't Yeshua. The prince is represented here as Antichrist. So you go, well, okay, well, if we know who the Antichrist is, we'll know who the people are. But so we had a shadow of that, you know, that the Rome, that it did, it said it would destroy the city and the sanctuary. Well, that did happen. It just doesn't have it in finality completely. But it says the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. Most people believe, they say, well, that's easy. Who destroyed the temple in 70 AD? Who destroyed Jerusalem? Well, it was the Roman army. But the Roman army doesn't fit with prophecy. People say, well, yeah, the Roman army, yeah, that's a return of Rome. That's a European Union. That's going to be where the Antichrist comes from. Well, they don't look at history. They don't look at who the people are. Who were the people that helped the Roman army? It was basically a Roman commander, and there was local people that hated Israel that came in and did all this destruction and made the slaughter. The people that we're talking about were the Syrians. That was the people of Assyria. Now, Assyria is part of, now Syria, and we're not talking about the nation of Syria now. We're talking about the nation of Syria back in Bible times. The nation of Assyria in Bible times was part of Iraq, part of Turkey, and part of Syria, and a couple of other countries, but Iran, Iraq, Syria, Turkey. So that's where the Antichrist is going to come from. Now, read this Micah 5:5.
Okay. And this man shall be the peace when the Assyrians shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palaces, then shall we rise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men.
Okay. But this is Micah pointing to that the Assyrian, several places in the word, the Antichrist is pointed to as is called the Assyrian. He is called the Assyrian, and even the countries he's come from. So, you know, this European Union suit and tie guy, Antichrist, is just not reality.
Then that means the people that are thinking that the Pope is the Antichrist, it can't be, or is he an Assyrian?
Okay, the Pope's not the Antichrist, right. Straight out. I mean, not many people are saying he's the Antichrist. What they are saying, that he is the false prophet that will bring in the Antichrist.
The one that brings in the Antichrist.
Right, and that's what he's doing right now. Is he's trying to bring the Catholic Church and the Muslim Church together into one, and wants to form it into a one world religion, you know. And so he is being a false, even if he's not the false prophet.
He's being a false prophet.
Right, and even people in the Catholic Church themselves, nuns and everybody else. In fact, I think we talked a little bit about maybe even on a Mega Man's program last night. I'm not sure. But the point is he's a false prophet, and he is clearly making the way for that to happen. I mean, you know, look in Catholic churches all over the world. They're having Muslim services inside the Catholic Church and saying that the Muslim God and Yahweh are the same, and they're not the same. They're not the same.
There's only one God.
Yeah, there's only one Yahweh. There's only one true God, Yahweh. It's just the usage of that word in the Bible that throws people off. These other gods that they talk about in the Bible were actually, there are, in a sense, there are other gods in the Bible, but they're not really gods. They're different angels that were appointed over different countries and regions in the Word to watch over things. But they, most of them, a lot of them were fallen angels. We're not going to go deep into that. But anyway, point is so, when they talk about other gods in the Bible, they're actually talking about other Elohims or whatever. They're talking about divine beings, which is actually angels. Anyway, so when the Assyrian invades, Yeshua will come to Israel's aid when the Assyrian invades. So the question for you to consider is this. Has there ever been a time in history when Yeshua has led an army against Assyria to save Israel from an invasion? No. What's the implication then? Since this never happened in history, the implication is that when Yeshua returns, he will defend Israel against the invading Assyrian or the Antichrist. And this is the war that I was telling you about that you fight during, you know, when he returns, that you'll be fighting with him.
That I'll be riding my
horse. Yeah, you'll be riding your horse. And so why is he called the Assyrian? Well, logic suggests in order to be called an Assyrian, you must come from where?
Assyria.
Great. So where was Assyria and what is the modern day countries that inhabit this this area? We identify these things. We can tell you where they're at. The Assyrian Empire, the second biblical world kingdom, it encompassed what nations here, Mother?
Palestine, Lebanon, Syria, Turkey, Jordan, Iran, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, and Egypt.
Okay, that's the land of Assyria. So from one of those nations is where the Antichrist is going to arise out of. Most people believe it'll be out of Turkey.
Out of Turkey.
Yeah, that's what Joel Richardson and many, many others did, but... See, this is why we believe the Antichrist to be Islamic, because those are all Islamic countries. Those are all Muslim countries. So, Isaiah 21 reveals the location of the Antichrist kingdom. Revelation 13:2 reveals the location. And Zephaniah names the nations that Christ defeats, upon his return, and none of them are from the Union. Okay, now let's read this part here.
And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate.
Now, how this right here, this is part of Daniel. And the reason I say to the last, because this is about the ending of it. So confirm the covenant with me. This is it's some kind of a peace treaty or something that the Antichrist is going to make with the people of Israel. But then, he's going to cause the sacrifice to cease. Well, that's what I started into all this. And when I said, listen, because that's why I had you read that thing about Israel. You know, in Israel, they started the sacrifice back. Well, sacrifices have to be started back for the Assyrian, the Antichrist, to stop it. And so a sign that they are wanting to bring sacrifices back and are bringing sacrifices, we're talking about animal sacrifices, is very, very important, you know. And so who knows? That would make it where they could just bring it out and set up the tabernacle of Moses. They have to have a final temple, folks, that's going to be built. It's not going to be built the right temple. They may build another temple, but that temple is, the real temple is not going to be built until the 1,000-year reign of Yeshua, because the word in Ezekiel is very clear and gives even the specific dimensions for the temple and everything. And Yeshua, that branch, will be the one that builds that final temple. And that's really, really dead clear in Ezekiel. And I know a lot of, you know, in fact, a friend of mine that wrote a book recently about, you know, the end times and returns and feasts, neglected this fact. He said, what he said was that New Jerusalem was going to come down and be there at the same time as the feast of, well, as Yeshua's return. And New Jerusalem doesn't come down until after the 1,000 years. But what proves that is that this temple will be where Yeshua reigns from, not the one that comes down out of heaven until the end of the 1,000 years. Otherwise, so I asked him, I said, so what about this temple? He said, that must have already been built at some time. No, this Ezekiel's temple has never been built. It will not be built until Yeshua's return. So the point is, folks, is that so the sacrifices have to start back in order for them to be stopped, you know. And so we're starting to see that now with the sacrifice that they just did. They didn't do it on the Temple Mount. They did it on the Mount of Olives. But soon, and I believe very, very soon, you know, when they get the election straightened out in Israel And I think Netanyahu is still going to lead. He was picked to lead the coalition, that he will be the next prime minister again. A lot of these people, they're all wanting the temple built, like right now, and part of the peace deal. And even back, there's negotiations with several different Muslim people that would not even force them to destroy the Al-Aqsa Mosque, but rather also build a temple or erect maybe a tabernacle, or, you know, a temple, maybe erect the tabernacle of Moses on the Temple Mount in league with the Muslims. And now what's this? Now it says he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he'll stop. So maybe there's a covenant will be made with the Antichrist to build the temple on the Temple Mount, and then he decides to declare himself God. We don't know. We see through a glass darkly. But we're in very holy times. We're in very prophetic times. And the big thing we should do is keep our eye on what?
Yeshua.
And his big concern was for us to do was how we treated each other. That was really, really his biggest concern. And so how should we treat each other, Mother?
As you want to be treated. Love one another. Treat everybody the way you'd want them to treat you.
Oh, he called everybody his neighbor, right?
Right.
Right, okay. Well, so, you know, that's what we try to do at the... So anyway, folks, pray about all these things that you heard, and you can go online and find them, or there's lots of places where you can find these things online, but I suggest books. If you really want to know, books are a better thing, because anybody can put anything out on the Internet. I encourage you, if you want to read about the Antichrist, Joel Richardson, now I'll switch to Joel, and he was on a few weeks ago. He has made every one of his books free if you want to read it online. Yes?
And I'd say research everyone if you're going to read books, because you can put anything in a book, too.
Right. That's why I'm pointing to, okay, but right. That's why I am pointing to Joel Richardson.
Right.
I have researched his books, and his books line up biblically, and they're not being struck down. So my best thing for you to do is he's written some really good books, several of them, about the Islamic Antichrist and the beast and all these things. You can find those at joelstrumpet.com. He made them free. Now, if you want a paper copy, yeah, you got to pay for it, because he doesn't have the money to give you a paper copy.
He has some really good CDs, too, that you can watch.
Yeah, I don't know if his all of his CDs and DVDs aren't online, but he does do updates, video updates and things, so you can get them free over there, too. And we watched a lot of those at church,
right.
You know what I mean?
They're very interesting.
And now, when October comes, he's supposed to be over there making the motion with the blessing of the Saudis to making some stuff about Mount Sinai, and hopefully it's going to come out as a major motion picture. And anyway... So, now we're going to talk about, let's talk about radio for a minute, folks. You know, we've been having some really good guests on, and I know you folks like to hear my wife and I's programs, because our programs are rated just as good as the ones that we have. As many listeners come to the podcast and listen to them as do our special guests that we have on. So, folks, you enjoy radio, but... We really need sponsors for radio. We used to have a sponsor. Right now we don't, and money is very, very tight. Here it is, the 26th of the month, and we have not paid radio airtime yet. That's $250, and we really need it. People say, well, okay, well, you got podcasts. The radio, the podcast are recordings of this radio program. And this radio program, we'll do away with the radio program and just do podcasts. No, this is live radio. We've been on American Voice Radio all along. We won't leave it. It goes out on C-band satellite. It goes, it's radio. It goes to places that, you know, people listen to it on us.
So without the radio, there's no program. So we need radio support.
Yeah.
Because I'm on here now, people. You got to hear me.
Oh, boy. Isn't that just like a woman? You got to hear me. Anyway. So we need your support for radio. If you make a donation for radio, please mark it for radio. Now, we also need help with the Wichita Mission Church, you know.
Yes, we do. Everything you need, we need.
Yeah, amen. And,
You it's know, like a great big giant home. It's actually our second home. It's more of a home than a church, but it is Messiah's Branch Church for the people, but it is more like a home.
It's like our second home.
Right.
Well, let's go with this. Here's something I was thinking about. Here's you consider how much stuff we go through. Well, you know, if we're feeding up to, just for dinner, we're feeding up to 70 people, per dinner plate. So, now, I'm going to talk
anywhere from 45 to 70. It's
okay, but
it has went over 70 too.
Okay, so. But I'm going to use the number 70 right now for this multiplication. And
okay.
We don't have much time, so you need
to
don't try
okay.
to correct me.
Okay.
Okay. So you have the number 70. That's dinner time. That's 4:30. 70. How many spoons do you think you go through for coffee?
A bunch.
For coffee and tea, make an estimate of that day.
Oh.
Would you say
I
that
fill
we,
that I fill that coffee? Can I use a little red coffee?
Make an
can
estimate.
I fill that about
100. So we
75 to 100 spoons.
Plus the dinner spoons.
I use forks for dinner, and
let's say it's a day that we serve something. We're using spoons. We're stay on spoons.
Okay, so if we're spoons all day, probably 200.
Okay, 200 spoons a day. So that's 400 spoons a week. And 400 times 4 is 1,600 spoons at a month. Think about that, folks. That's how much stuff we go through. And then you think about paper plates and cuts. People, you know, all those things. It adds up, so we need your help. We're out of everything, and we're coming up. We're really going to be in another 2 weeks, we're going to need Bibles again. So pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church and
right.
also the bills.
Right, we need bill money, but right now we are out of gold plates and very few. I think we have enough plates left for Friday, but then we're out of plates and we have.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to cut you off. We only got about a minute.
Okay.
Okay. And so, folks, right now, you know, like she says, we need gold plates. We need people from the neighborhood come in that are poor. We give them a gold plate. Whatever. Point is, we need your help now. We even need your help for Friday. So pray about a donation for the Wichita Mission Church. And I'm going to make it a little more clear. There's also another PayPal site over there that my wife can donate to the things that she spends money on. You know, we call it the food account, I guess is what the name of it is. But that way it'll go directly to her. But you can just make it. You don't have to go to a specific PayPal account. Just mark on it what you want it for. And that's what it'll be used for. If you just make a PayPal donation, it goes to whatever in general. So pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We do need your help, and we need it right now. Now, folks, remember, all donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where?
Your heart.
So if you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. Again, you enjoy our radio guests. I know that you do. I can tell by the numbers. And, you know, I even got a donation from somebody in another country. I think it's the Philippines. He's now committed to donating $2 a month, to PayPal. And, you know, that's a blessing. That's called Widow's Mite. Just
right.
like, you know, we have a woman that sends us. Tell about her a minute.
She sends $10 a month faithfully every month for the last 20 years.
And it's Widow's Mite because does she have any money?
No, she's poor. We pray for her all the time. She's having financial and health problems and children problems, which
right.
all of us probably are having.
Right. But anyway, so we even take her letter to Prayer Circle. And if you want a letter taken to Prayer Circle, send it to us. We'll anoint it with oil and we'll all pray over it in Prayer Circle. If you want, we'll even send you an anointed letter back, which is something that we do. But so pray about it. So you can donate online or over the phone or by mailing a check or money order. You can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. Again, if you don't want to help with the poor, we need radio airtime. So pray about if you want to make a gift to help us get to Sukkot, make sure you mark it for Sukkot or Tabernacles. Anything, final thing, because we got
to
go.
We need warm stuff to keep you warm, blankets, sleeping bags, all that kind of stuff, and men's clothing.
Okay. All right, folks, you must remember there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins, and he rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is a way to the Father.
Remember, always be a blessing to others. pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because it's like praying for Messiah's return.
Yeah, because there will be no peace till his return. Tell him goodbye.
Shalom.
Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you'd bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you'd be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.